God, for your goodness. Lord, we just honor you tonight and say, Lord, you are so, so good to us, God. We pray, Lord, tonight for your anointing and your presence. I ask you to come and breathe upon us, Lord. We ask you, Father God, to let your anointing just flow, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord. I ask you to touch our nation tonight, Father God, our president, all the leaders. We ask, God, that you just impart to them wisdom, Lord. Pray, Father, that you'll lead them. We pray, Father God, for you to stretch forth your hand into all that's happening in our nation right now. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bring an end, Father God, to this, Lord, this divisiveness that's going on. Lord, we pray, Father, that out of it would just come forth, Lord, your just an awakening. Father, hearts turning to you. And Lord, we just thank you tonight, God, for your spirit, your power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering tonight.
I would be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness, if it wasn't for the cross, you have won me with your kindness, chased me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood.
Bought my freedom. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. Can feel it. Somebody testify.
Oh, we praise the Lord.
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify.
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify, testify. Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Do you know that all the darkness won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
It's all creation groaning.
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Of all blessing and honor and glory, is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move? Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves.
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
He does.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slaves. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and
out and greet somebody tonight while we're getting unstrapped. going to teach us some history.
Hear me? Okay. I told him I had needed the lapel mic so I could talk with my hands. You know, I can't talk without my hands. So, well, I'm really excited to be here. I'm a little bit nervous. I have some teachers in the crowd and some history teachers in the crowd. So, just bear with me. But I would like to pray first before we get started. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to come and to inhabit this place. I ask you, Father, to give me every word to say. I want everything that is said and done here tonight to be pleasing to you. Father, we want the truth. We're seeking the truth, and we know that if we seek the truth, that you'll give it. And we thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless all the people that are here tonight. Bless their families, Lord, and we just want your will to be done, your perfect and complete will to be done here tonight. In your son's precious name, I pray. Amen. Well, I'm not a history teacher. I am a teacher, but I'm not a history teacher. But I am a student of history. I'm a proud history nerd. Who else is with me? Where's Cameron? He wasn't here. So, I don't have a degree in history. But I love it. And growing up, it was boring. I was like, oh, who cares? But once I got older and I realized the importance of history, I became a student of it. And especially when I was teaching my own sons, I wanted them to love history as much as I did. And of course, they said I made everything school, life was school. And I told them, yeah, it is. Every vacation, I made a field trip. That's what they said. That's the truth. Ask him. He knows. And my poor daughter-in-law, bless her heart, she's having to become a history nerd herself. She wasn't, but she's being dragged along on all these family vacations. So we went to Boston because Will, our son, wanted to see the Boston Red Sox play at Fenway Park. But what did Mom want? She wanted to walk the Freedom Trail and go on Paul Revere's ride. And it was awesome, so we did both. So I want you to be as excited about history as I am. I have been studying this and had a lot of help. The Keglers are here, Alan and Margaret Kegler. They're awesome students of the word and of history and of policy and things that are going on in this nation. And I talked to them for a long time. They gave me a lot of resources. And I'm going to share some of these resources with you guys. David Barton is awesome. You need to write that name down. The website is called wallbuilders.com, and it's not like he's a big, you know, supporter of building the wall. Probably is, though, but it's just a reference back to building the wall, like they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem for protection, and we need to rebuild the foundations of our nation. We need to go back, and so that's what we're going to do tonight. In Acts 17, in verse 11, Paul tells us that the Bereans, we need to all emulate the Bereans. Well, what did the Bereans do? They were students. They studied the word. And so I think that we all need to be students. Of course, I'm a teacher, so I want everybody to be a student. But we need to study the word daily, and we need to know what's going on in the world. We don't need to be afraid of what's going on. I haven't listened to the news these past 3 days. I've been in hibernation just studying. But we need to know the issues, know the policies, I want us to know what our foundations are, what the Declaration of Independence says, what the Constitution says, and what the Bill of Rights says. We need to know all that. So I'm going to be showing you some different resources as we go on, but I also want to tell you that the way history has been taught has changed. I have a history book here from 1951. It looks nothing like, reads nothing like the history books now. And it's pretty sad. And I just want you to know the truth. And that's why I ask that some of the youth, if they could stay in here, because I want them to hear this too. Sorry, Miller, I made him come back in. Hey, babe. It's my student. Yes. So, yeah. He was forced to. He's one of my students. So, and Jackson's here. Another student's here. So, so why teach this? Who cares? Who cares about all a bunch of dead guys? right? That's what people think. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about foundations, right? If we don't know our foundations, if we don't know where we came from, then we don't know where we're going. There's a guy named Stephen Pratt said this. When asked what we should do, we must confront our history and determine from whence we came. You know, all this mess that's going on, the riots, the political corruption, the just all the mess that's going on. It would be easy to say, oh, just forget it. But we have responsibilities as citizens. Patrick Henry said, I have but one lamp to guide my feet, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging the future but by the past. So those are wise words that we need to know from whence we came. We've got to determine and confront our history to see what we can do about it now. So what we're going to do is we're going to examine the foundations of our nation and confront our history to determine from whence we came. Our country, I don't know if you guys know this, but we have the longest running government in the history of the world. There's 192 countries at the moment that could change tomorrow, but we have had the same constitution with some amendments for over 230 years. So that's pretty amazing. You know, in that time, France has had 15 different constitutions. And, you know, Europe is supposed to be stable. You know, so there's a reason for that. And we're going to talk about that reason. So the Bible has a whole lot to say about foundations. And we're going to read some scriptures, and I've asked for some help. But David, don't freak out. I'm going to repeat them in the microphone so that the people at home can hear it too. So, okay. Psalm 33:12. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So that tells you something right there, that we are a Christian nation. We are. Our foundations are that. And I'm speaking that of things that are not as though they were. It's going to be again. Amen. Okay, Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Proverbs 29:12. All right, when the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. When the rulers are wicked, the people mourn. How do we know that? We know that. We need that. We know that feeling right now. And Isaiah 58:12. Amen. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations. We will be called the repairers of the breach. Now, that's not the whole thing. Well, I think that we are being called, I know we're being called, to be the repairers of the breach and to rebuild those age-old foundations. We've got to do it. We have to do it. So we're going to examine some of these foundations of our country and determine whether they are Christian or not. Let's see if my clicker works. So let's look at a quote by George Washington. It worked, praise God. Can you all see that? Okay, I can't, so somebody's going to have to read it for me. No, I'll look at it on my nifty iPad here. Of all the habits and dispositions which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. That's George Washington. And that was in his farewell address, which used to be in every history book, and we would study it. But he talks about the Lord a whole lot in that, so it's not in there anymore. So we're going to look at that, too. It's pretty amazing because he said, this is what our foundations are, and this is what is going to happen before for the country to go on and to be successful. He laid it out in this farewell address when he retired from public service. So let's look at the next slide. It's working. I'm so excited. Okay, let's talk about the responsibilities that we have as citizens. Now, I hope everybody here votes. I'm going to get on my soapbox. If you don't vote, you better, because look what this quote says. To God and posterity, you are accountable for your rights and your rulers. And that's Reverend Matthias Burnett. And he said this, used to, and I don't even know whether they do it anymore or not, every Senate Congress, every time the Congress was in session in the states and in the nation, they had prayer, opening prayer. And Reverend Burnett was a pastor in Connecticut, and he was opening the session of the House when he said this, and he looked up into the gallery of the citizens, and he spoke to them and said this. So we are accountable. We're accountable to God, and we're accountable to posterity. And posterity means what? The future generations, okay? So we've got to think about not only now, but the future. I have a brand new grandson. I've got to think about his future. And we have a responsibility. We have a legacy, not only for our Christian faith, but I want him to have an awesome place to live in the future. Well, so we need to stop right now, and I want you to, when we think about history, everybody thinks, oh, so boring. But if you look at it as his story, then it's totally different. That's the word history. That's what it means. It's his story. So we know that the Lord has been involved in all of this. So we need to go back to the beginning. We need to go back to the beginning of America, not the beginning of the world, Miller. Not that far. So, but let's talk about the 13 original colonies. Who can name all 13? Anybody? Who can name some? Shout them at us and give me one. Virginia. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. What else? Anybody else? North Carolina. South Carolina. Georgia. Maryland. Correct. Good job. Say that again. Sorry. Pennsylvania. Yes, thank you. Delaware. Massachusetts. Thank you. From the gallery up there. Okay. Any, what about the news? New York, New Jersey, Hampshire, Delaware, okay? That may not be all of them. Arizona, ha, 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 you're funny, Tom. No, that came much later. So, okay, well, we were all, who were we ruled by? What's a colony? A colony is you come from a mother country and you settle somewhere else. That's what a colony is, right? Okay, who were we ruled by? England, Great Britain, okay? King George III was the king at this time. And he was what we call a tyrant. And a tyrant is a cruel and oppressive ruler, okay? And so we're going to talk about that. Well, that was back in the 1600s. He was during the American Revolution, but back when the colonies were, it was King James, okay? So let's talk about some of the reasons why the colonies were started. Who knows? Who can give me a reason why the colonies were started besides Mr. Haynes? Do what? Thank you, Uncle Bill. That was awesome. Freedom of religion. I'm impressed. Yes. Oh, he's been reading them. He's been cheating. No. And money, right? I know Virginia, they sent the Virginia Company, the Jamestown settlement because they wanted gold. They wanted to get rich, right? But let's talk about Massachusetts first, okay? Who were the first settlers, English settlers in Massachusetts? Who can tell me? I'll give you a hint. Thanksgiving. The Pilgrims. Yeah, the Pilgrims. Well, why did they come over here? They were what we call the separatists, okay? And they wanted to be able to worship, thank you, the way that they wanted to. They didn't want to. King James wanted them to submit to him and his authority. Does that sound familiar? So in 1620, about 100 men, women, and children came over on the Mayflower. Yes. And they were headed for, who knows where they were headed? Yeah, they were headed to America, that's right. But where in America? Which colony? Anybody know? Virginia. They were headed to Virginia. And they got blown off course in a storm. Good job. Get a gold star, Jackson. Good job. So they ended up in Massachusetts, okay, at Plymouth, okay? So they were given permission to settle, okay? Well, when they got there, of course, they needed some ground rules, okay? So they wrote a document called the Mayflower Compact, okay? This was the first, I did it on my iPad, but I didn't do it up here. This was the first, one of the first American documents, legal governing documents in America. And look at the rights that it gave the colonists. And they were written by William Brewster and Miles Standish. I bet you've heard of Miles Standish, okay? So he's one of the leaders of the Plymouth colony. It says the colonists would remain loyal to King James despite the need to govern themselves. Colonists would create and enact laws for the good of the colony and abide by those laws. Colonists would create one society and work together. And colonists would live according to the Christian faith. Okay? So that was in the governing document, that statement. So let's move on to another colony. And that's the colony of Pennsylvania. Now, what was Pennsylvania? Who was that named for? Which state? I mean, which person was Pennsylvania named for? William Penn. Okay? Some of y'all aren't doing too well. No, I'm just kidding. No. William Penn was a great man. Thomas Jefferson said of him that he was the greatest lawgiver the world had ever produced. I think he's probably forgetting about Moses, but no. But God did those laws. So he wanted to set up a colony in Pennsylvania for religious purposes, and wanted it to be a Christian colony. Look what it says. The Great Law of Pennsylvania, William Penn, 1682. These laws shall best preserve true Christian and civil liberty in opposition to all unchristian and unjust practices, whereby God may have his due, Caesar his due, and the people their due. Okay, so that's the first, that's the law. But then there was a whole charter, and the whole government of Pennsylvania was based on Christian values. Okay? Let me get my notes right here. Sorry. Okay. Let me tell you, but William Penn is very interesting. He was a prolific letter writer, so that's how we know all this stuff, because in Wall Builders, they have a collection of 100,000 documents before 1812, okay? Letters from John Adams to Abigail, which tells us a whole lot about the Revolutionary period, what the Founding Fathers were thinking, what life was like. But William Penn wrote this late 1600s, and he wrote this to Tsar Peter the Great of Russia, okay? And he said this to him, "If thou wouldst rule well, thou must rule for God, and to do that, thou must be ruled by God." We need to pray that for our rulers, that for them to rule well, they have to rule for God, and then they have to be ruled by God. So that's what we need to pray for our leaders, okay? So that Great Law of Pennsylvania, that whole document was very, very important in the founding documents of our nation. So now let's talk about the Great Awakening. I got so excited when I was reading about this. I've read about it, but it was like, oh my goodness. Looking back at it, it's so exciting. So many preachers. There was a time in the colonial period where religion, they called it religion, but Christianity, it just got really dull, and people were just they were lukewarm. They weren't on fire for the Lord. And this is God's timing, because he sent these awesome evangelists and these amazing preachers during this time. And it's called the Great Awakening. How many want another awakening? Yes, we need it. It was like the people were asleep. They weren't with it. So, Jonathan Edwards, who has heard of the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? George Whitefield or Whitefield, Samuel Davies, there's list upon list. But let's focus on George Whitefield. He was just an amazing guy. They said that people would ride a horse for 100 miles just to hear him speak. He would go up and down the colonies from the north to the south, all the way to Georgia, and preach. And it is said that 80%, this is amazing, 80% of Americans heard that man preach. 80%. There were 3 million people in America at that time. So that means 240 million heard him preach. 2.4 million people heard him preach. That blows me away. And wouldn't you like, wouldn't that be amazing if people, if we had just had that many people to hear the gospel, any preacher, but that one, people would be in trees. They would be, you know, fields would be covered. It was just an amazing time. And they said that thousands upon thousands were converted and churches were full. And look what Benjamin Franklin had to say. Now, everybody said, we're going to talk about the Founding Fathers individually more next week, but everybody has said that Benjamin Franklin was a deist. Well, I know that he was a really, really good friend of George Whitefield, and he printed his sermons, okay? He printed his sermons, and this is what he said about the Red Awakening. It was wonderful to see the change in the manner of our inhabitants. From being indifferent about religion, it seems the whole world is growing religious. So one cannot walk through the town in the evening without hearing psalms sung in different families on every street. Would that not be amazing? To walk down the streets of Philadelphia, he would walk down here, you could hear people singing psalms of praise to the Lord. That's amazing. It's amazing. So like I said, Benjamin Franklin printed George Whitefield's sermons, okay? And so people could not wait for the next sermon to come out. They would not only hear the sermons, but they were printed for them to read. They didn't have Xbox and television and Roku and all that stuff. Their entertainment was reading, okay? They read, and they were read too. And so that's how they got the word. So let's talk about the influence of the Great Awakening on the American Revolution, on our Founding Fathers. Well, this happened in the 1730s to 1740s, making our Founding Fathers young men at this time. Okay? So these young men were hearing these sermons, and they were reading these sermons, okay? And they were also in school. Now, the clergy, what were the main teachers besides being taught at home? They were the main teachers. Okay? And what were their textbooks? The Bible and things that were based on the Bible, like the Horn Book, the New England Primer, you know, all those things had biblical values in them, okay? So we are real proud if we read the Bible through in a year. Yay! But back then, if you didn't, you were heathen. You know, that it was just expected of you. I mean, that's what you did. That's what you read was the Bible. So our Founding Fathers knew the word, and you can tell it in their speech. The Patrick Henry speech, give me liberty or give me death, if you read the whole thing, in just the last 14 sentences, there are 10 references to the Bible in that speech, if you look at it. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So they were filled with scriptures and these sermons. Let me show you these some of the sermons that were preached during the Great Awakening. I hope you probably can't see that, but listen to the titles of some of these. Charles Chauncey, civil magistrates must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Thanksgiving sermon on the repeal of the Stamp Act, 1766. Charles Chauncey wrote that one too. Okay, we're not supposed to preach politics from the pulpit. Not back then. So, I mean, just look. So they heard all these. They heard them and they read them. So that's where they got their ideas for the revolution. Now, let's look at this next slide. The Law of Nature and Government, Reverend John Wise. Okay, he wrote this book in 1717, okay? And it was reprinted again, so all the students would read this book about government and law. Okay? And I was telling Pastor earlier today that, you know, if the colleges, the first colleges in America, there were 108, okay? 106 of them were Christian, okay, based on faith, okay? So of our founding fathers, 29 of them had seminary degrees. There were 56 signers to the Declaration of Independence. 29 of them had seminary degrees. So they would read this book. This was a textbook for them. It was reprinted again in 1772 to get people excited again. And this book was so important in the writing of the Declaration of Independence. Sections of it, entire sections of it, were verbatim in the Declaration of Independence. Isn't that interesting? So, and a a reverend, a pastor wrote it. So they were the scholars of the day. So the founding fathers, were they Christian? Well, let's look at one of the quotes. He was such a good guy. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. John Adams. Okay, now that's his words. He was, like I said, he was a prolific letter writer, and we're so thankful for that because we know. I mean, it's there, back to the original documents. I'm not making this up just to convince you, and that's why I want you to go home and study and look and say, well, she's crazy. Look it up yourself. I really want you to look it up. There was a law textbook called The Godless Constitution. Has anybody heard of that? It was written by two professors at Cornell University, okay? And it's like one of the top ones now. And in the front of it, it says, we're going to dispense with the academic practice of footnotes. Do you know why that is? Do you know what a footnote is? It's your source. It's where you get your information. Well, they decided to just dispense with that because they didn't have a source. They were making this stuff up, okay? Because it's in there. It's in these documents. If they go back and look at the original documents, it's there. Okay, so let's talk about the tyrant Great Britain. And now at this time in the 1770s, King George III. Does anybody know anything about old King George III? What was he like? He was crazy. He really was. He had periods of insanity, and he was a real tyrant. So these colonies have been making money for England, cash crops, you know, tobacco and all that good stuff for England, but they kept being oppressive. They just kept putting more and more restrictions on them. And I know that everybody knows one of the reasons for the Declaration of Independence, the reason we wanted to be free from England was what? What did Patrick Henry say? Taxation without representation, okay? That is one of the reasons, but that's not the main reason. Everybody thinks it's all about money. No. That was number 17 on the 27 grievances that were listed in the Declaration of Independence against King George and Great Britain, okay? So what I'm going to do at the end of the session, I'm going to pass out the Declaration of Independence. It's in large print. Y'all welcome. And I want you to read it, Daryl. Daryl was supposed to recite it for me, but he says he's not quite ready to recite the Declaration of Independence. But I want you to read it, okay? And if you go on the internet, if you don't want to read the old language, because it is hard, it's like the New Living Translation, you can find a modern version of the Declaration of Independence. So that's going to be your homework, is to read the Declaration of Independence. And next week, I want you to tell me what some of the grievances the American colonies had against King George and Great Britain. Is that a deal? Okay. All right, so the American colonies from the north to the south are getting tired of constantly being harassed. Okay, in Boston, for example, they were a little rebellious, but it was the reason the Stamp Act. I mean, there were so many taxes, and they brought over all these British soldiers, okay, and they were just hooligans, you know, and they had to put them up in their houses. They had to feed them. They had to shelter them, and so that it was just horrible. And then they laid siege to Boston. But we'll talk about that more next week. Okay, so all this is happening. All this is just the tensions are rising. So the states, the colonies, they weren't states then. The colonies, the American colonies, said we need to do something. Okay, so in 1774, they called the Continental Congress, and there were delegates from every colony except for Georgia. Okay, George Washington was there, Patrick Henry was there, Samuel Adams, John Hancock were all there at the Continental Congress. And what the Continental Congress was going to do was, they were going to convene and kind of deliberate, okay, what are our options here? We are not being treated the way that we're supposed to be. We don't have any representation in Parliament for anything, not just for taxes. Well, what are we going to do? So all these dignitaries, these, they were very learned men, met together in Philadelphia at Carpenter Hall. And this happened on September 7th, the event that I'm going to tell you about. So they met, and they said, okay, the first thing we got to do is we need to pray. Okay? So let's look at this next slide. This is a very famous painting. This is the prayer at the Continental Convention. And this is Reverend Jacob Duché. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. And he was from Christ Church, was an Episcopal church. And there was some debate about who they were going to get to pray the day before they debated. You know, and finally, I can't remember who said it. They said, well, I can listen to anybody. But I think it was Samuel Adams said, we just need to pray. I don't care if he's Episcopalian or whatever. We just need to pray. So the first thing he did was he read Psalm 35. And that's another assignment I want you guys to read because it was so pivotal in the founding of our nation and in the Declaration of Independence. These guys, and they had Bible study, and then Reverend Duché prayed. And he didn't pray, you know, well, bless y'all, amen. He prayed for 3 hours. He prayed for 3 hours. They got on their knees before they did anything and prayed for 3 hours. And they had Bible study together. And it affected those men so much. John Adams wrote to Abigail and said, I've never seen anything like it. He said, it was enough to melt a heart of stone. I saw tears gush into the eyes of the old grave Pacific Quakers of Philadelphia. Now, a Quaker back then, they called him Old Grave. And a Pacific means they were pacifiers. They were pacifists. They wanted peace. But they were very, very stoic. And John Adams said it was a move of the Holy Spirit so strong that these grave, stoic men wept. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me that before they did anything, started the deliberations to say, okay, what are we going to do? They prayed about it. That's amazing to me. So that picture right there is just, I don't know, it's pretty pretty moving to me. And then after they prayed, and during this time of deliberation, whether we were going to go to war, write the Declaration of Independence, whatever, there were 15 fasting and prayer proclamations sent out to the colonies. 15 over the course of the war. 15. They would have fasting and prayer. You know, we need prayer. They would send out the message to all the colonies. You guys need to pray for us. We got to get this straight. And then when things went well, they would send out another proclamation and said, let's have prayer and thanksgiving. So there was always a prayer and fasting. You know, we need direction. And then there was prayer and thanksgiving. 15 of them. These were from the Congress proclamations to do this. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. And this is what John Adams said about that. Millions will be upon their knees at once before their great Creator, imploring His forgiveness and blessings, His smiles of American counsels and arms. That's amazing to me. I mean, what if, I don't know, what if millions now would get on their knees? What if our Congress would get on their knees and pray? Things would be different. So, what we're going to do next week, this is just kind of an introduction. You can ask questions in just a second. But next week, I'm going to hand out the Declaration of Independence. And you can take one per family. I'll kind of start here, please. And I'll let you guys pass them on there, okay? And if you need copies, let me know. Make sure Daryl Hilton gets one because he's going to be reciting it next week for us. And like I said, if you want to go on the internet and find a modern translation which takes out all the these and the thous, you can. You can find that. And, you know, we're going to do the same thing with the Constitution too. How many of you know what's in the Constitution? I don't know everything that's in the Constitution. I've got to study it myself. But what I want you to really think about is what the foundation is, because if the Lord doesn't build the house, the builders labor in vain. And the Lord did build this house. He built America. He did, by the faith of the founding fathers. And like I said, look up the founding fathers. Who can name some? I've named some. But who can name some founding fathers? Shout out a name. George Washington. Thank you. Thomas Jefferson. Benjamin Franklin. You guys are so good. Their dad's a history teacher. Who else? Patrick Henry. Thank you. John Hancock. Why is John Hancock so famous? Big old giant signature. Okay? They don't know whether he did that on purpose or not, but he was the president of the Continental Congress, so he was the one to sign it, the first one to sign it. So that was one of the reasons. But I want you to think about those names. When you see on the back, the last page of the Declaration of Independence, look at those names. Now, all those guys were British citizens, okay? You know, when Paul Revere's ride, they say, the British are coming, the British are coming. They didn't say that because everybody was British. They were all British. They said the redcoats are coming or the regulators are coming. That's what they said. They didn't say the British were coming because we weren't Americans then. We were British, okay? So all these guys were British citizens. And by signing the Declaration of Independence, they were, what were they committing? An act of treason, right? So I want you to think about when you look at those guys, those names, they had everything to lose. They had everything to lose, and some of them did. Most of them did lose everything, fortunes, houses, families, businesses. Most of them did lose that. But they did it for posterity. They did it. They knew they were going to be held accountable by God and by posterity for the way that they ruled and what they did in this time. And so no wonder they hit their knees and prayed for 3 hours. They were getting ready to commit treason. You know, for the right to govern themselves and to govern one nation under God. Okay, so next week, that's what we're going to talk about, Declaration of Independence. We're going to look at some of the unknown founding fathers, people that we don't hear anything about. John Witherspoon. Anybody ever heard of him? Awesome, amazing, amazing man. Roger Sherman. Yeah, so cool, Roger Sherman. I got to tell this one story. He had a Bible, and he read it every year. He'd go to session, and he would read the Bible when he was away from his family, okay? And he would read it through once a year. He'd read the Bible through. And he would take you buy a brand-new Bible every year and make notes in the margins for his children. And he gave it to his children. And it took him a long time because he had 15 children. So it took him 15 years to do that. I think that's amazing. That's amazing that he, what a legacy to leave. So he would write notes in as he studied the Bible for posterity. I think that's really awesome. So, and then we're going to look at the war. We're going to look at George Washington. George Washington was an amazing man. He was an amazing man. He not only, he kind of reminded me of Rich. He was a giant. Rich is very tall. But most people back then were not 6 feet or over, and George Washington was. And he did stand head and shoulders above the rest, not only in moral character, but in stature, okay? And he, you know, all this was ordained by God. I mean, George Washington being the leader of the American Revolution and commander-in-chief was ordained by God because during the French and Indian War, when he was a young guy, after one battle, he came in and had 4 bullet holes in his coat. And he was not hurt. So that's providence. That's the hand of protection of God. So, well, does anybody have any questions? Oops, sorry. Anybody have any questions? Sorry, I don't know what to do with my hands. So, Darren, got any questions? I love to put him on the spot. And I'm just glad that Jeff wasn't in the sound booth or my brother-in-law didn't mute me. So I'm really happy because they've done it before. So, well, I'm just real excited about this. And think about if you have, write them down. Alan, you have anything to add? Mr. Haynes, do you have anything to add? Did I leave anything out? I know I left a lot of stuff out, but we haven't quite got to the decoration part. Anything y'all want to add? Okay. Oh, thank you. Alan's wonderful. And I didn't mention the John Birch Society, okay? That's an awesome, another resource. So write that down. Look them up. They have publications. Awesome, awesome. So Wall Builders. And there's also another book that I got from Alan. And it's called The 5,000 Year Leap, A Miracle That Changed the World, Principles of Freedom 101 by, I forgot what his name is, Skousen. Is that right? Is that how you say it, Skousen? Okay, and this is about the Constitution and what a miracle that document is. I mean, to last for 230 years, that's amazing. So it's miraculous. And I will tell you how prayer came into the Constitution also. Okay, so people think Declaration of Constitution, they happen right one right after the other. No, it was like 10 years because we had the war during all that time, okay? So we had peace with Great Britain. They signed the treaty in Paris, and the treaty, and you can see all these documents in the archives, and the Treaty of Paris was signed by, I forgot the British guy's name, but John Jay, Benjamin Franklin, and John Adams. Okay, that was their seals, and you can see their signature. But at the very top of the peace treaty said, in the name of our most holy Trinity. Hello. Should I be wearing this? I'm on fire. No, but it said, in the name of the most holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the peace treaty. My sister-in-law's laughing at me. That's just amazing to me that people can say we have a godless constitution. How can they say that? How can they say that the founding fathers were atheists? How can they say that? If they go back and look at the original documents, you can't. So I'm pretty passionate about this. I don't know if y'all realize that or not. But So I am finished. Turn myself off.
All right. Well, let's all stand together tonight. What an awesome lesson. Praise God. And you need to hear that about 20 times where you can really get it in your spirit. And so what a great beginning. Amen. So you got your assignments. Daryl's going to memorize it and get up and recite it next week. Amen. But in all seriousness, I'm telling you that our nation is under siege in many ways. I mean, the Declaration of Independence, if a lot of people had their way right now, would already be gone. And so when you begin to read those grievances, you're going to find out we're right there. Right there. It's like America's coming to a place of decision. And we're really close to that strategic inflection point. We're going to have to make a decision on what is going to be happening in the future. You know, we sit in church and we think, oh man, nothing like that can never happen. But I'm going to tell you, we're really close right now. Right now. So there's a lot of things to pray about and ask the Lord to give us revelation. Show us, you know, what we need to do. Most of all, you need to vote, like she said. And my God, I just can't imagine anybody not voting. That's right. You know, even if you say, I'm not going to vote, you are voting. Whether you want to or not, you do cast a vote. But I want to remind you tomorrow night's prayer meeting and remind everybody here, pray for our nation. Pray for our nation and ask God to move. I know our president definitely needs our prayer every single day. You think about the load that he is under and the things that he faces and all the things that are being hurled at him. Is he has no rest where that's concerned. And so he needs to be lifted up constantly by the church in prayer. And he really covets our prayers. He really, really does. But thank you, Laura Lee, for that. And we're looking forward to next week. Praise God. It's going to be good. Somebody say it's going to be good. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we bless you tonight. God, we thank you for our nation. We thank you, Lord, Lord, for the blessing that America is and has been down through the years. And Father, we pray that, God, that you will stir hearts, Lord, those who are watching online, those that are present. And Father, as the word gets out more and more, Father God, that people will be stirred to take a stand, Father God, for our nation, for what it has stood for, Father God, down through times, Lord. We ask you right now, do strengthen our president, Father God. We pray, Father, that you'll sweep through our Congress and Senate, every governor, lieutenant governor, Father, every mayor, every place, every state. Father, we pray that you'll flush out and remove every person, Father God, that is fake and false, Father, that is crept in unaware, Father God, for the destruction of our nation. We pray, Heavenly Father, we know you put down one and set up another. We're asking you to move by your Spirit. Father, we ask in Jesus' name tonight, Father God, for your favor to be upon us, Lord God, in this nation. We pray, Lord, for forgiveness and mercy, and Father God, that it will be extended, Father God, in a major way. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to do all that's necessary for preservance, Father God, of our freedoms and all that you've blessed us with. Father, go with each one tonight, Father God, and we praise you and thank you for keeping us by your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord. Prayer meeting tomorrow night.